people stand there waiting for the information that they've been given, being the choreography. I'm like, this is
And amazing. Holding it like it's a contract or they die.
Yeah, like, they're like frozen. I'm like, dance.
Dance.
Why are you here? Move. Let's dance. Move. Create. It's just music. Like, at the end of the day, this was your hobby.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this was your friend.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this was your favorite thing to do when you were at primary school or high school, potentially, and maybe for the majority. If you're striving for perfection, A, it doesn't exist.
Absolutely not.
And B, you're getting further and further away from the joy of the practice. Just meeting where you are every day through dance, through asana, through whatever it is. The more you can remind yourself of why you dance and come back to your relationship with it, I really believe that solves all the problems. Because it's healthy. You've got to feed your dance. You've got to feed your art. Like, you've got to connect with it. You can't just expect from it.
Hello and welcome to The Dive. Now more than ever, we need to be finding ways to help us navigate the challenges of being an artist. You're listening to The Dive podcast, a show specifically designed for performing artists to help you stop the stress and overwhelm and instead find ways to get on stage with confidence, passion, and ease. I'm your host, Taylor Scanlon. I'm a fellow performing artist and founder of The Dive, the fastest growing support platform for performing artists. Each and every week, we have a brand new guest on the show who is a professional in the industry to discuss their unique stories and help us tackle the industry challenges to help you perform, rest, and excel at your peak. I believe that we all have a unique story to share, but most of our struggles are common. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Let's get to work and create a career of a lifetime. Well, welcome to the podcast, Zoe. It's awesome to have you in.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We've known of each other for a long time. I mean, I don't even know the first time I met you. Was I doing one of your classes or were we doing...
This is really showing our age.
I don't know. I feel like I saw you at maybe in an event or something.
Back in the day when there was like all of those like showcases.
Yes. And like Paul Malick's Underground or things like that.
Immersed. And
Immersed.
Like, it was somewhere. It'd have to be like 10.
Or plus.
Yeah. 10 plus. Let's go with 10.
10's good.
10's great.
Awesome. And I mean, this podcast, like we were just talking about before, is all about just helping performing artists from all walks of life, you know, learn about the challenges we face as artists. But before we get into all of that, I would love to, you know, paint a picture of, you know, who's Zoe and where did you train? Where did it all kind of start for you as a performer?
True.
Yeah.
Where did it start?
Yeah, where did it start? Did you always want to be like in dance or perform?
No, it was like dance was a band-aid because I actually played basketball, but I didn't grow. Too short. Like the dot points are I loved basketball. I've always been active, like from netball to basketball to swimming to tennis, like everything, like diving at school, like swimming team kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And I really loved basketball. And then when I hit that like 14, kind of like year 7, year 8, rough age, everyone was growing.
And
I'm really short. So, and I started getting not quite injured, but it was playing with danger. Everyone's hitting puberty. And I was just looking like I was in prep. And even though I could run away. And then my best friend, who's still one of my best friends to this day, Olivia, she was like, you should come to dancing. And it fell on the same nights. You know, how, like it was like Tuesday and Thursdays on my basketball nights.
Okay.
So I went to dance and I didn't want to wear a leotard. I remember I was complaining about the tights. I was so over it.
Yeah.
But it was very like recreational, still solid, like good routines, good troops, but there wasn't a whole lot of technique or anything. I just kind of.
You were more into the basketball or like it was just kind of a side thing.
It was just, because I couldn't play basketball anymore. So it fell on the nights.
Oh, okay. So it was on the same nights.
Then I did the dancing, but it was just very recreational and fun. And then I changed, this is in Geelong, and then I changed schools. I picked it up quickly.
Mm.
I also think it's just like my personality. Like when I like something, I go all the way in.
Yeah.
And then in year 11, I changed to a different school. He was someone new in town. And again, it wasn't like extremely technical with like ballet syllabus. I'd never done any like proper technical training. I just could pick up where things needed to be. And we just kind of were like, this is a turn, but no one really broke it down.
Right.
Anyway, and then, yeah, I learned from this teacher who was from the Philippines, and he taught like 4 to 5 8s at a time.
Oh, wow.
And showed you like once.
Okay.
And I frothed it because I loved it. Give it to me. I'm going to pick this up.
Yes.
Like, I'm a quick learner. Right. So that he asked that much of me, it fueled like this different fire in me. And then,
well, you felt probably challenged.
You're I felt like, so yes, challenged. Let's go. Yeah. You know, obviously, like if he'd done a ballet class for me, I would have been like so challenged.
Yeah.
But I could navigate my way around. And then from there, I left school, high school early from 1 year, and the school was really supportive.
Yeah.
And I went to Dance World full time.
Right.
And that's when I really had to train the ABCs of dance. And like,
was it a bit of a shock going from that to that?
It was the biggest shock. I don't even know how I got in. I remember my ballet audition was really poor, and the jazz I could like fluff around with like performance, but I could tap. I'm like, I'm a strong tapper.
Oh wow!
I just
didn't know that.
Yeah, I was like, that's like the first thing I properly like honed in on.
Yeah,
and I had a very amazing tap teacher, Chase Rossiello. He went to be a tap dog.
Yes,
and. Yeah, and I remember tapping in my audition for Dance World, and I think that's what got me across the line.
A little bit tap.
Yeah.
Great.
So then I went to Dance World for a year, 6 days a week.
What was that like?
Monday to Thursday, I stayed back for a lot of the evening classes because I had a lot of catching up to do. So it was like 9 to 9.
Oh, wow.
And then Fridays was 9.
Catching up as in like technique-wise?
Yeah, yeah, like I was in with the junior school in like grade 3 RAD ballet.
And did they suggest that, or were you just like, I need to do this?
They suggested. They were, yeah, they were like, you need to train more.
Great.
And I just was like, well, I'm here. And then I went up on a Saturday to do all the junior school classes.
Wow.
So it was a big shock to the system. And I was traveling from Geelong on the V-line. So I was up at the crack of dawn.
Every day?
Every single day.
Oh, wow.
Brittany Flask, who actually runs Dance Nation Academy, who's still one of my closest, like, dearest friends to this day, she lived in Hoppers Crossing. So we both, her journey was much closer, but it was still far from, you know, we're 17 years old. So I used to stay at her house a bit, and, like, her mum, my mum became friends. And, like, I was always going to stay with you for tonight.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, on the country Victorian line. Into the city,
making it happen.
Oh, it was
determination. I feel like there's a lot. I don't know if it's post COVID or what kind of happened. Is maybe you can agree or not, but like dance teaching recently has felt like I really have to bring things out of people, like really trying to bring, I don't know, this hidden energy or something to their...
You're feeling like you have to
extract. Not with every class, but it feels like that's kind of like a common thing. There's not, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm here early, and I'm ready to go. Like, I don't know if that's just like what I was experiencing when I was training, but...
Well, when we were training, I was like first in, last out.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, that was it.
I was up all night practicing.
What do you think's shift like since then? Or
oh, there's so many things that I think could contribute.
Yeah.
The phone being one.
Okay.
Because like we kind of touched on this before, but I used to watch YouTube.
Yes.
I mean, I still do, but like, and with Brittany, we'd go home after like a 12-hour day, and then we'd get onto the Millennium Dance.
Yes. YouTube. Isn't Brittany Flask like Montana Flask? Like,
yeah, Montana's sister. Yes,
yes. Brit, and I did full-time with Montana.
Yes, I've known Mon since she was like a wee little
I think I've been to their place like once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
See, we go way back.
There you go. We're connected somehow.
But the only thing that we watched digitally of dance was music videos where you like wait for Saturday morning or watch the recaps.
Yeah.
Or YouTube. And it would be like one class video. And we'd learn the class videos or we'd be learning the music videos. Like that's as far as dance was.
So then you wanted to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like when you're in the studio, it's in the studio. And when it was groups, it was about giving it a go and taking on the correction. I'm not saying that's not anymore, but I feel like the focus could be let's do groups so you can get the footage to put it on your Instagram where we're flooded with dance, which I think has a pro and con. I'm not dissing it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like the lens has changed of how you take class because I never went to a class thinking I was going to get a video out of it.
No.
I went to class to be like, I'm going to show my teacher my improvement or myself or like I'm going to stick that triple turn today, you know, like I want that front position.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I do.
That's it.
I was like, let's go.
Yeah. And the only chance of filming was like if you bought your dance comp DVD, like straight to up. See you dance. Otherwise, it was never really.
Yeah,
a thing.
And then at the end of the year, you'd get your showcase DVD.
Yeah.
You had to wait like 6 months to get it.
Yeah.
You didn't just get it like this.
No.
And I guess watch.
I maybe then feel possibly you trusted maybe the teachers more because if you didn't have a film to look back and judge yourself, you really had to just give maybe your all and listen to your teachers.
100%.
Keep going. To keep
it and
going.
Also listen to yourself because I still to this day when I teach class, I'm like a hawk in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, my shoulders are lit.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Like, I'm like, where like, again, I think maybe it's just the lens that I have, but when people are these days dancing maybe from the place of getting something in return to post, which again, I'm sitting on the fence here, but I think it does change how you take class. Or takes changes why you go to class. And then when you're taking class, is the seed of your intention to get the video or to actually like watch yourself in the mirror and get the line and do this and then going to groups and not be practicing on the side so you're all good when you go on the floor, but watching someone and go, okay, that person's going really, really low. That person's hitting that really hard. Like whoever the teacher's watching, I was watching. Yeah. I was like, why are you watching them?
Yeah.
I want that.
Exactly.
What they're obviously doing something right.
Yes.
Like, and I feel like you learn better.
Yeah.
Because it's not so interrupted, the pandemic. Like, that obviously is a very different experience to people learning online and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't really teach too much dance to, like, dance students anymore.
Right.
Taking a big kind of step back. Like, I'll do pop-ups and stuff. But I have, this is not the first time I've heard this, that it's like, we used to be there and I'd finish school and if I had a night off, I was at every open class.
Yes.
And I know people say, oh, I don't have enough money. I'm like, I know, but we also, I mean, this is like going to fully go into another direction,
we
were spending less money. Like their day-to-day needs of a human have increased so much from like just things even on the phone, streaming platforms and stuff. That. And then there's like, we're going to get a coffee. We're going to get brunch. We were not getting brunch.
No.
We were like.
Noodle cups. And
straight up. You're like banana and sticking an almond in it. And I was like, I'm going to class.
Yes.
You know, and again, it's like no right or wrong, but it's just different. Like
different
the intention
experience.
Was class. And, you know, I went home and I'm on the ad breaks holding right leg splits.
That.
Next ad break.
Yes.
Left leg split. Like.
Yes.
That's just because I needed to.
Yeah.
That was just like, you have to make it.
Yeah. I think it's that running thing of like no one's coming. I feel, I don't know, maybe there's that sense of now it's almost overstimulation of you get told exactly what to do, how to look. Do you have a Leduca boot on? Do you have your head, like everything you get told what to say, how, I've said it this many times on the show, but with that overstimulation, we've kind of lost that humanness and that part of ourselves that.
Well, I mean, why do we all dance?
Yes.
I'm always curious to see all these people coming through these full-time institutions, which is great. I love that everyone's dancing. But I press play and people stand there waiting for the information that they've been given, being the choreography. I'm like, this is
And big. Holding it like it's a contract or they die.
Yeah, like. They're like frozen. I'm like, dance.
Dance.
Why are you here?
Move.
Let's dance. Move. Create. It's just music. Like, at the end of the day, this was your hobby.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this was your friend.
Mm.
At the end of the day, this was your favorite thing to do when you were at primary school or high school, potentially, and maybe for the majority, right? So lead with that.
Mm.
But I feel like it's just so deep. It's just the world has changed a lot.
Yeah.
And dance has changed a lot now because when I was young, it was like, well, when we were younger, we're still young. You know, like what do you, you know, what, like when you would ask, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to be? What kind of dancer do you want to be? Like, I wasn't looking at someone on my phone.
No.
The person, like, if I was either, like, watching them on stage or I was, like, in a class that they were in or they were in some music video. But, like, it was fleeting. I couldn't see them all the time.
No. Yeah.
So it just kept me on me.
And people that you watched were who you wanted to be. Like, they were, like, already in a place. Like, they were performing on big stage and stuff like that. So I guess now that the overflux of now everyone's just in every class doing everything, maybe there's that pressure of, well, if I don't look like that, then I'm not succeeding or I'm not, I don't know, enough. I don't know.
And I'm also curious, like just throwing this question out there, like the numbers of the followers and the likes do influence dance now. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but does it change the psyche of a dancer thinking if I had created a digital profile for myself that's like, at a place that gives me clout, is that how I'm going to get a job? Like, I don't know. My answer is I don't know, but I'm like, does it have an effect on how and why someone shows up to train?
Like you said, the industry is changing. So maybe the next question is kind of going more like, okay, how can we now live in today and kind of use it to our advantage, I guess, as well, along the way with the filming? Because a lot of auditions now that I've been in are all filmed.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if there's that added pressure of we're going to film in class and now we're going to an audition and it's filmed.
Yeah. I definitely think that, there is added pressure, but I feel like maybe it's that what we need to water or feed more is your relationship to dance or art or singing or acting or performing. Like, if you're only going to these classes to only be seen by the person who's going to give you a job, that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, what moves us as an audience is how you make me feel, is how you show me what you're going through, what you're expressing. And if you can't tap into the human part of yourself while you're dancing, I really think that is where the line is if you get hired or not. You know, like, so feed your hobby, go dance for yourself, go to a show by yourself, go to a class you've never done, like, put yourself in the beginner, in the student environment again. So you're like, oh my God, I remember this feeling. I was like, I want to get this.
Yeah, like a new teacher, someone that you've not worked with before.
Like, go get out of your comfort zone and don't document it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you have a specific, like, profile that you need to maintain because that's your job, respect it, love it, do it. But behind closed doors in your private time, go and take a salsa class.
Yeah.
Go to the Nightcat on a Sunday and ask some man to be like, can you teach me how to salsa? Because dance is connection, it's passion, it's community. But I think maybe when we get too far into it being a career, that's what we're missing. It's like the joy, the love of it.
Yes. And it actually...
Because it's so good. I love it so much.
And actually reminds me of when I was learning to become a yoga teacher, there's these yoga sutras and basically tells you that there's 8 different limbs of ourselves. And when you're doing yoga, you got your asana, which is the physical practice. And that's what I'm kind of seeing, bringing in a bit of yogi, you know, philosophy here, is that we're focusing so much on the physical that we're forgetting that we are these like multidimensional humans that are capable of so many different things, from our breath to our emotion to how we feel to like all these other elements. And I think if we only focus on one, we're only getting one dimension of you.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like, it's a practice. It's a dance practice.
Yes. Class. And to learn.
But I feel I feel from experience... And visibility is that we're trying to be dance perfect instead of dance practice.
Yes.
So then it's like, if you're striving for perfection, A, it doesn't exist.
Absolutely not.
And B, you're getting further and further away from the joy of the practice. Just meeting where you are every day through dance, through asana, through whatever it is, like through singing. I am absolutely no singer, but you best believe I sing every day.
Yes.
Like, what's going on today? Like, let me just meet that.
Yeah.
Let me see that. Let me feel that. So then when I go into rehearsal or I'm dancing, I dance for myself every day, but if it's specifically for work, I'm like, what am I feeling?
Yeah.
What's the feeling? This job, they want us to have fun. Okay, so I'm not going to do 1-ender, 2-ender, 3, 4, 5, 6-ender.
Yes.
It's not fun for anyone.
No.
Like, do you know what I mean? When you've got a short window, I'm like, and the person at home is going to go, that's very complex. They're not going to be like, I want to do that. They're going to go, I'm impressed, but I'm far away.
Mm.
So lead with fun.
Yeah.
But if you're back in class trying to get this career and it's from fear, not love, and there's no fun, like, it comes back to the practice of just, why are you dancing? Just dance.
Yeah.
Just dance. Just go out dancing. Don't even dance in a room.
Yeah.
Go listen to some live music and feel the drums in your body.
Play a song and actually move to how you naturally express yourself as you hear the song.
Yes.
Instead of waiting for that cue to be like, this song is now making you feel like this.
I know. Maybe people aren't. That's a practice that's...
Missing,
you know, like,
yeah,
just feel it. They're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I need you to tell me. It's like, well, try it on. Try it on is something I say a lot. I'm like, let's just try it on. If you don't like it, put it back on the hanger.
I love that.
You don't have to
just
buy
try
it.
Try on this style.
Just try it on. Just put it, you know.
Yeah, let's try on this counter.
Maybe you want an XL, you know, maybe you want a small.
Yes.
Whatever. You don't have to buy it. I'm just asking you to try it on. Go to the change room and try it on. Walk around in it and tell me if you can work with it.
Yes.
If you don't like it, return it. I'll put it on the hanger. We don't have to investigate it again.
I love that.
But just try it on. You
try it on.
Like, I love that. Just feel into it a little.
Mm. And let yourself feel, like, basically feel and give yourself space to. Yeah. I think, again, with the online, everything's now, now, now. Everyone wants the job now and they're kind of letting go. It takes time.
Oh, my God. It takes so much time.
It takes years and takes so much dedication and hard work and strong work ethic. So I think that's kind of missing when people are seeing just one 30-second clip. You're not really seeing the hours, doing the extra class there, or you know, none of that's documented. So if you're maybe watching it and you're feeling a bit defeated and you feel like you're doing enough, just try and, you know, maybe put the phone down and reflect on, you know, what you can do and maybe do less of and maybe focus in something
totally
maybe a bit different. Sometimes like a good book. I don't know if you're an avid reader, but
yeah, I'm a reader.
Sometimes, and maybe anyone that is listening, you grab a book sometimes and you read the first page and it just doesn't work for you. And I always say, great, it's what you need. The information that you need from a book is always right. Like whenever you pick up a book and you just can't stop reading, that's exactly the message 100%. You would need at that point. So if you're opening a book and it's not working, grab another book because there's something out there for you.
100%.
But I think that really relates to, you know, if you're going into a style and you're giving so much attention and you're having that resistance, maybe just putting the book down, trying something else, like you said, just all of a sudden, even if you are in full time and you don't have that option to not do it, just go to that added class, go to something silly, do a static dance whatever. Get literally out of the mind a little bit, because that's sometimes exactly it's those little pauses that we need.
100%. And also just to circle back to what you're saying about, you maybe see something on your phone and it's hot, it's amazing, it's blowing up your phone. Don't measure your journey against a 30-second reel. As much as it's like maybe so much easier to say than to practice, but that's also maybe a practice that we can work on, because like you said, it doesn't represent the before and after and everything in between, but don't measure your experience against that.
I mean, personally, I've always seen things as like a challenge. If I'm looking at someone that's smashing it, I'm like,
let's go.
I want to talk to you. What are you doing? How can I do that? Like, let it become your actual fuel, you know, that weakness of thinking that, oh, you know. And maybe look at yourself. How long have you been on that phone watching yourself when you could have been doing, you know, ballet or like could have gone 100%, to a class?
100%. You
know, sometimes we need to put the reflection back on us.
Well, this is...
Yeah, because you're not going to improve by just sitting there and...
It's not going to happen for you. But also, I think a lot.
Yeah.
I just like wonder, I'm very curious. And as a maybe a young person today, like my brother, there's 12 years difference between us. And we've spoken about how he doesn't know a phone before the iPhone. It blew my mind. I was like, wow. What? And he's like, and I was like, true, actually. Mm. True. So then if you think about, we're going back to the dance world. So someone who's only ever grown up with everything is at here. Yeah. It was like, I remembered all my friends' phone numbers, their addresses, their mum and dad's names.
Yes.
Then you do the three-way call and you're like, I'm going to call this person. We're going to, what are we going to do on the weekend? Mom, can I do this? Like, you had to remember so much.
You can't be on the phone if the internet's on or something.
No, exactly. All that stuff, right? You had to wait. There was so much more patience because we couldn't access everything. So then in turn, as a student,
right,
you have more patience and you have to like collect more.
You understand that that takes time.
It takes time. It's not going to happen like this. But then maybe someone who is younger, who is like new to dance, just and who's always had everything they need here, and then they go to try to do something and it doesn't work. Like, I'm not surprised that maybe they might feel disheartened or feel like they're failing if they're not getting it straight away.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I hope they know that it's like, oh, years of like years. Just it doesn't stop. Mm. It doesn't stop. Mm. Like, you're never going to.
And then when you start
get anywhere, actually,
when you start performing and you are working, it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. I'm saying like there is no destination. It's like you just have to be in your practice, whatever it is right now, and take it for exactly what it is, and don't compare it to yesterday's class or even the class before yours or even the round before yours. You know when you see people come in and go, oh, I don't like doing turns on the left. I'm like, don't make that your story.
Yeah, because that's just what you're repeating
this
as well.
This is what you're putting out there. So, yeah. Of course, you're not going to like the lift.
Yes.
You're telling everyone everything back to that multidimensional human.
Yeah.
Beyond the physical, we don't like the left side. They're like, noted. You're going to fall and give you some more bad memories in the left side just to add fuel to that story.
Yep.
So, yes, you can put your hand up and ask to go to the toilet when we get to the left side.
Oh,
you know, we've all done it. Well, we're like, I go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It's like, we need to know that, like, you are the creator of your own life, of your own experience. So just like create the moment. Don't try to be anywhere. Just like be here. Just do it. If you fall over, it doesn't really, the world will still turn. Like it really, it's not going to change.
Absolutely.
But some people really think it's going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had that, like, if I don't get this, it's over. It's so dramatic.
Yeah. It's like if an audition comes up, you don't see that there's another date possibly past this date of audition because it's such a lead up.
Oh, it's...
And then you don't get it and you see outside and it's sun shining and
you've
got to go to your job. And
exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
Still keeps going.
Hey, listeners. If you're interested in yoga, Pilates, or even becoming a yoga teacher, I highly recommend you come and check out the Australian Yoga Academy. It's located in the heart of Chapel Street in Melbourne with daily yoga and Pilates classes, as well as yoga teacher training to get you prepared to step onto the other side of the mat. Whether you're here to be a teacher or not, you can come to the Australian Yoga Academy and find something for you. They also house Reiki, osteo, and physiotherapy, and they're really just revolutionizing the way that we look at our bodies and also connect together as a community. Whether you're a beginner or a daily yogi, the Australian Yoga Academy has something for you. The Dive Podcast is also filmed here and houses our sound therapy sessions each and every Monday. To receive up to 28 days of unlimited yoga and Pilates, go onto their website, www.australianyogaacademy.com today to check out their generous intro offers for yourself. Now, that's enough from me. Let's get back to the episode.
I wanted to talk a little bit more now, maybe a bit more into some challenges that you faced when you were training or even in your career and maybe how you navigated that.
There's been a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
Anyone who's in the arts, it's 21st century. Everyone's meeting new challenges. I take that back. I think we kind of started to speak about this before the podcast, but when I had finished my 3 years of training and I kind of entered the industry, I didn't know who I was at that time. Like, I know that. But I've always been able to listen to my intuition, and I can see that I was absolutely not listening to my intuition at that time. And I was kind of being chaperoned into avenues that people told me, you are this, you're good at this. And I was like,
okay.
Like, and it's that, you know, that downloading through full time of like, you can't say no to anything. There's so much fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yes. Even though I knew in my gut, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is for me. And so I felt very like homeless in my dance and that I was doing these jobs that I was good at, but my heart wasn't in it.
Mm.
And that was really challenging. And it's like a young person, fresh out of full time. And then to not, like, I was working, but I didn't want to seem ungrateful.
Right.
But I deep down wasn't having the greatest time.
Mm.
So like I ended up just moving. I went traveling overseas for a year and then I came back for a year and then I moved overseas. And when I moved to London in 2014, I remember getting on that plane and being like, I am going clean slate right now. No one knows anything about me in London.
How good.
I'm just going to rock up and whatever happens. Is going to happen for me. I'm just going to go in authentically.
Wow.
And by this point, like I've spent like, you know, the past 10, 11 years diving very deep into myself to learn who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just never going to go away. That's a part of my life. And I know that's a part of your life too.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I hit 24 and I was moving to London, I started having my wits about me and about who I actually am and what I actually want. So meditation aided a very strong part in being able to go there and be like, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to everything. Instead of coming from a place where I've been told what I was and then I was starting to build a reputation for myself as this dance teacher. And I was like, I don't even want to teach. But I'm teaching 40 hours a week.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm burnt out. Mm. But I was like, I have to be grateful. Like, maybe this is my career. And I got told, you'll never work as a dancer in Australia. You're too short. Oh, wow. You know, you'll never get into musical theatre. Like, you'll never get into... Like, I got told no's, but you are a teacher. So then when I went to the UK, I was just like, ta-da, here I am. And really just lent into, like, kind of what I've evolved. And that's where I became a movement coach. Mm. I didn't even know what a movement coach was until, like,
yeah,
I was in the UK, and then I was like, I'm into this. I like this.
How good. How did you get into that?
So a very good friend of mine who I also did full-time with, Jamie Rose, mm-hmm. she transitioned. We lived together in London, and she transitioned into music.
Yeah.
And music management and mm-hmm, production mm-hmm. and stuff. She came home one day, and she's like, I think you're meant to be a movement coach. And I was like, I don't know what that is.
I love it.
And then we kind of spoke about it. And then, you know, what you put out there, before I knew it, a friend from my childhood was living in London, and her housemate is a singer. She runs it in a band. And she's like, my housemate needs help with movement. And I was like,
let's move.
I'm done. I'll do it. So then we used to move in her lounge room. We used to teach her how to walk in heels for these jazz gigs she's did. And then we made a visual album, and I just got really, it was all the dance teaching communication that became in handy. And then I started movement coaching her, and then before I knew it, I don't even know how, someone else is like, hey, we hear you're a movement coach, do you want to come in and movement coach a singer for a whole music video? And I was like,
how one thing kind of just
trickles
into the next.
Yes, yeah. Especially if it's a place from when you're acting from your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, I was like, I love this. I was like buzzing. I was replaying the session in my head. I was going home, and I know it's taught me how to be a movement coach. It's a very intuitive practice.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, whatever I can to learn about them, and the yoga helps and the dance teaching helps and everything, the meditation helps. And then before I knew it, I was movement coaching and movement directing on set. And the first time I was ever on set, I was in the toilet Googling what the words were that they were all saying on set, because I had no idea. I didn't go to film school. I was like, what is this?
What is
and
this
I was
thing?
Oh, I understand that shot now.
Okay.
It's like, what is panning? All this stuff. So I'd come back on set and I'd be able to navigate my way around. But I thought that also comes from being, I think dancers are very versatile and could learn really quickly.
Yeah.
So I could recognize that, very proactive. When I came back to Australia, and the challenge was, everyone's like, I don't know what a movement coach is. I was like, no.
How long were you over in the UK for?
It was just shy of 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was there for a while.
Mm.
Really big time, beautiful time. You know, we all got to do it when we're young.
Yeah.
Going to the UK was the best thing I could have done. Otherwise, I feel like if I didn't, there is a potential that I would have just could be sitting in a different position today, being like, I just did what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm pretty strong-minded. I think I would have woken up eventually.
Yeah.
But I was
guess when you're not, if you're in a place where you're not sure of yourself, all you got to lead on is the people in your life.
Yes.
And whether it's family or coaches or teachers, you just naively just trust that whatever they're going to say is what's right for you.
And that was always something too. I would hear, I remember when I was in full-time, and maybe it was just me being a Geelong girl, not from the city, not fully up with it.
Yeah.
And the way that people would chat to each other and talk and what they do on the weekends and stuff, I was always like, I'm good. I'm just here to dance. I'm not really here to be in the social. So then when it got noisy and I felt like people were pushing me in different ways, I was a bit and my mum clocked it too. And I was like, I think I need to go overseas.
And so then you came back to Australia.
And then I came back to Australia, and I just started cold emailing, just cold calling. Is it cold emailers?
I guess. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Zoe. This is what I do.
Yeah.
I decided I'm not taking no for an answer. If there isn't a lot of awareness around movement coaching, I'm about to make it.
That's it.
Because I love it so much that I was like, no, I want to do this. It's taken me so long to find my practice as a facilitator, as a teacher, to find where I am. And then, you know, you just get one, and then I really am good at my job, and I can put my hand on my heart and say that actually at a place in my life where I believe in my skill set, instead of being like, no, I'm like, no, I know what I'm doing.
And you've done that work.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't just happen.
It's taken a decade. Just a quick decade. And then it just a ripple effect. Like this person told that person, this person told two people, two people. And then before I knew it, I was like, I'm movement coaching like 5 to 6 artists a week outside of like choreographing and working on whatever kind of like freelance work was coming through.
Wow.
Like, and it just kept happening. And it's like, you know, my friend said that to call you and this manager told me to call you and all happened around me. And I was like, whoa, Matt, this is so fun.
That's awesome.
But like, I really had to like stay in my integrity the whole time. It could have been so, and there was financial stress being like, I could just slip back into teaching 40 hours a week and be very comfortable. Like I could easily do that. But every time I would think about it, my insides would like just churn. I was like, I can't do it.
Wow. And then obviously you kept into your intuition and you know that guided you.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you become so in tune with yourself, and I practice yoga and meditate, like very similar.
Yeah.
My body knows, like, knows, like I can say something out loud and be like, yeah, that sounds good. And inside's like, and I'm like, oh, it really doesn't sound good.
And it's great because I think sometimes people are scared to kind of go inward and it's not always beautiful and a lot of the times it's not.
No.
But it's definitely just worth the journey because once you start to really understand you or at least begin to understand, you know, what you're about and your likes and your dislikes and what's good for you and what's not, it's awesome because it doesn't take long. Like you said, I could have a thought and I just know instantly that's not for me or not, and actually be aware. It's the opening the awareness.
This is it. Like my mission in life is to know who I am. Like it's like, well, maybe not mission, but it's like to study myself. Like just we can study history and all these things happening. And I think they're great. But at the end of the day, I am this thing, physical, sitting right here in this vessel called Zoe, going around dancing. I need to know who this is and study myself and my mind and my habits and my body. And the more I know myself, the easier life is. Doesn't matter if someone says like, no, we're not booking you, or yes, we're booking you. Either way, I'm like, sweet. Like I literally am like, either way, I'm not like, there's no like heightened emotions. Like my baseline is really strong. And then in that comes trust. Like I trust myself. It's not trusting my skill set and my dance. That's all third, fourth, fifth layer. It's like I trust myself because I know myself. I sit with myself. I'm honest with myself. And then everything else is easier.
Yeah.
And it just flows and it just ends up happening for you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're here. You know exactly who you are. But I feel like maybe today's dances with the noise of life coming off the back of a pandemic, like it's a bit chaotic.
It's a
lot of information where we need to like turn everything off, go away, pause, and just like sit and just be like, how are you? Like, what are you like?
And I mean, this comes into kind of the end of the episode. It's also just been chatting with you. There's so many. I just feel like we could talk forever.
I feel like you and I could just sit here for like a day
and uncover the world's problems for sure. But is there any other form of advice? A lot of people that are listening in, watching in, are either in full time or they're fresh into the industry, or maybe there's a professional out there that's kind of lost the love. Been going on this journey but haven't had that time to go inward and really look at the, you know, nitty-gritty of the self. Is there any advice that you would give people that are listening in?
I mean, two things pop to mind. One is Morning Pages from Julia Cameron's
Artist's Way.
The Artist's Way.
Yes.
That's why I have this tattoo. Leap and the net will appear. That's been like my, I remember reading in her book like 10 years ago and I was like, I'm just going to start jumping off cliffs. Because she said there's a net. She said if I jump, there's a
there
net. So I like take a big leap or take a big plunge or just email that random. You always land.
Yes.
So just leap and the net will appear. But from her book is Morning Pages. It's just dedicating however long in the morning to write 3 or 4 pages. It's not trying to write anything profound or creative. It's just like, just get out of your head. Just go blah, 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 blah.
I call
blah,
it
blah,
a brain
blah.
Dump.
Yeah, it's literally.
I literally title it brain dump and you just put pen to paper and
whatever
don't stop.
Up.
For 3 or 4 pages.
Yeah. And it's crazy how something so simple like that can just create some space for you and just sometimes I see myself, I'm like, you're crazy. This is outrageous.
And if you think that's what's happening on paper, gosh, there's a lot more happening in the mind.
Exactly right.
So morning pages. And
is to dance for yourself. Mm. Like it's been my biggest healer, like especially through some really challenging times over the past like 4 years. Like I just, my personal dance practice has increased every single day. Mm. Every single day I dance. And then I created a dance class out of it called Dance Remedy, which is just offering a space for people to do that. But what it does for me is it just shows me who I am every day through the vessel of dancing. And then it's led me to join like the freestyle dance space, which it took me 2 years to get to. I was so nervous. And now you can't get me away from it. I'm obsessed every week because the intention to dance is just to dance. There's zero outcome. Yeah. Well, for me personally, I'm dancing for myself to whatever music comes on. I don't even have preference. I'm not trying to impress anyone.
Yeah.
But it's just like quite literally the healthiest relationship. Oh. I've ever had.
Have to come join.
Please do. Yes. It's so much fun. You just get to dance. Like, try some stuff out. You're like, I'm on the ground now.
So where is it if people do want to come check out?
So the jams.
Yeah.
There's heaps. There's heaps of different ones. I'm going to one tonight. It's a hip-hop jam run by Jam on Toast.
Yeah.
There's a ladies jam at IMAX. These are all at IMAX.
Okay.
Tuesday night, I go to a ladies jam between 7 and 9 at IMAX. And then Wednesday night from 7 to 9.30, I'm pretty sure, is like all styles.
Great.
And I know there's Whackers on Thursdays, I think,
yeah.
And another house. Oh, there's a house jam on a Wednesday. But anyone, any walk of life can just go and
just come
participate or enjoy. Learn or contribute, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a really like come and bring a positive vibe at the end of the day. But it's your dancing for you. So that's like my advice. Like, even if you're dancing for you, you're actually dancing for your career if you're at full time because you're at university, you're studying, and that's amazing. But clock off and go to a house jam or clock off and put some random music on that you've never heard and dance for you because, like, the more you can remind yourself of why you dance and come back to your relationship with it, I really believe that solves all the problems because it's healthy. You've got to feed your dance. You've got to feed your art. Like, you've got to connect with it. You can't just expect from it.
Amen.
Yeah. I obviously love it.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, yeah, it's been awesome having you in.
Thanks for having me.
Like we could go for maybe we'd get a part two come in soon.
Yeah,
but if you, anyone at home has any questions for us or Zoe, you can always email us at info@thedive.com.au. And I'll be sure to add the jams and everything into their bio so if they want to check it out or, yeah.
I can send you all their pages. Like, I'm still like new in the space, but the impact that it's had on my life is like so beautiful.
Let's jam.
Yeah, it's so good.
Great.
And if you are nervous for the jam, I run a class called Dance Remedy, which is like a guided dance class. There's no mirrors, no choreography, no levels. You just rock up on a Tuesday at 6 o'clock and play.
Well, we'll add it all into the show notes. It's been awesome having you in.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
It was so fun.
Yes. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Dive Podcast, the fastest growing support platform for performing artists. For more resources, tools, techniques, and tips, you can head to our website, www.thedive.com.au. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review for us. And if you feel like this episode could resonate with anyone else in your network, feel free to share it online or share it with a friend directly. Be sure to check us out on Instagram with the handle @thedive.com.au, where we come on each week and share a little bit more about the behind the scenes of the podcast and any upcoming workshops, classes, and offers with The Dive. Until next time, I hope that you stay passionate, keep showing up, and just know that if you're going through challenges right now, it's going to be so worth it when you are in a show and living your dream.